Chapter 3. The Otis family discussed the ghost when they met for breakfast the following morning. The American minister was upset that the ghost had not accepted his gift. "I have no desire to personally injure the ghost," he said, and turned to the twins. "And I must say that, considering that he has been a resident in this house for a much, much longer time than ours, it isn't polite to throw pillows at him." The twins responded by laughing hysterically. "However," continued Mr. Otis, "if he refuses to use the Rising Sun lubricator, we'll have to confiscate his chains. It's impossible to sleep with that noise outside the bedrooms." There were no more disturbances for the rest of the week. The only thing that generated any attention was the continued renewal of the bloodstain on the library floor. Although Mr. Otis locked the door and closed all of the windows every night, the stain was always there the following morning. The family was particularly fascinated by the changes in the colour of the stain. Some days it was red, other days it was blue, purple, or yellow. One day, it was emerald green. The family was greatly entertained by the changes in colour. They made bets with each other on what colour the stain would be the following morning. Virginia was the only member of the family who didn't think that this was funny. She was always upset when she saw the bloodstain and almost cried the morning that it was emerald green. The second appearance of the ghost was on Sunday night. A short time after the family had gone to bed, a terrible crash in the corridor woke them up. They ran downstairs and discovered that a large suit of armour had fallen over. The Canterville ghost was sitting next to it. He was rubbing his knees and had a pained expression on his face. The twins had brought their pea shooters with them. They quickly and accurately shot him with two pellets. The minister had brought his revolver with him and ordered the ghost to put his hands up. The ghost jumped up with a scream of fury and passed through them like vapour, extinguishing Washington's candle. Mr. Otis and his sons were left in total darkness. The ghost recovered his calm when he reached the top of the staircase. He decided to give them an example of his famous demonic laugh. This laugh had always given him excellent results. It had turned Lord Raker's hair grey in a single evening. It had also caused three of Lady Canterville's French maids to leave within a month of arriving at the mansion. He laughed his most horrible laugh. However, when he stopped, a door opened and Mrs. Otis appeared. "You sound ill," she said. "Here's a bottle of Dr. Dobell's Universal Cure. I'm sure that it will remedy your condition." He gave her a look of extreme fury and prepared to convert himself into an apparition of a large black dog. The sound of footsteps behind him caused the ghost to hesitate. He contented himself with going green and disappeared with a deep groan just before the twins reached him. He was in a state of profound agitation when he reached his room. The vulgarity of the twins and the exaggerated materialism of Mrs. Otis bothered him. However, what affected him most was the fact that he hadn't been able to put the suit of armour on. He had thought that the image of a ghost in a suit of armour would impress the Americans. The weight of the suit, however, had been too much for him. It had made him fall over, and he had hurt his knees. He felt extremely weak for the next few days. He only left his room to make the bloodstain reappear every morning. He eventually recovered and resolved to make a third attempt to scare the minister and his family. He selected Friday the 17th of August for his appearance. Most of the day was spent deciding on his clothes for that evening. he decided on a large hat with a red feather, a long white robe, and a rusty dagger. A violent storm with strong winds began early in the evening. Perfect, he thought. He loved this kind of summer weather for his apparitions. He had a detailed plan of action. First, he was going to go to Washington's room. He would scream at him from the foot of the bed and stab himself 3 times in the throat with the dagger. He wanted to reduce Washington to a condition of pure terror. He hated the young man. Washington was responsible for removing the bloodstain every night with Pinkerton's Paragon detergent. Once he finished with Washington, he was going to proceed to the room occupied by the American minister and his wife. He would put a cold hand on Mrs. Otis's face while he whispered the terrible secrets of the mansion into her husband's ear. He had not decided what to do to Virginia. She had never insulted him in any way. She was simply a pretty, gentle girl. He thought that a few groans from inside the wardrobe would be enough for her. The ghost had special plans for the twins. He wanted to teach them a lesson. First, he was going to sit on them. Then he would appear between their beds in the form of a green, cold corpse. For the grand finale, he would float around the room in the form of a skeleton with only one eye. At 10:30, he heard the family going to bed. By 11:15, the house was completely silent. When the great clock chimed midnight, he left his room. He appeared in the corridor and began to float silently towards the family's bedrooms. An evil smile appeared on his face in anticipation of what was going to happen. Finally, he reached the corner of the corridor next to Washington's room. He paused for a moment, laughed to himself, and turned the corner. What he saw made him jump back, cover his face with his hands, and scream with terror. A horrible, motionless ghost stood in front of him. It was monstrous. Red light shone from its eyes. It had a demonic smile frozen on its face, and there was fire inside its mouth. Naturally, he was terrified, because he had never seen a ghost before. He turned and ran towards his room. His nervousness caused him to accidentally drop his dagger into the minister's boots. A servant found it the following morning. When he was safely back in his room, he jumped into his small bed and covered his face. Eventually, the Canterville courage returned, and he decided to go back and speak to the other ghost. At dawn, he returned to the place where he had seen the phantom. He felt that 2 ghosts were better than 1, and that his new friend would be able to help him. These thoughts completely disappeared when he arrived at the place where he had seen the ghost. It was still there. But there was something terribly wrong with it. The red light had disappeared. He approached the spectre and touched it. It broke, and the components fell on the floor. It was a trick. The twins had found a new way to insult and laugh at him. Furious, he returned to his room and stayed there for the rest of the day.